So Trump just gave a speech last night where he blamed China for election fraud. And he said China had stolen a lot of hundreds of millions of election, records of voters and other various shenanigans. The thing is, almost no one is buying this story. I'm not, not to say that China didn't probably steal some number of voter records. However, the real election theft happened right here in America, especially in 2020. So that election theft was carried out by Americans, Democrats, blue cities, blue counties, blue states. They rigged it by simply rerunning the same ballots over and over and over again. Remember the suitcases full of ballots? They stuff them back in the machines. They did it by closing down or faking like there's a water leak to close down the vote counting in a center. What was that? Atlanta that did that, I think. And then they said that everybody should go home at, 3 or 4 in the morning. Everybody went home, and then that's when they ran all the Joe Biden ballots. They cheated by mailing out who knows how many tens of millions of ballots, just flooding the mail so that anybody could just then go fetch those and fill it out for Joe Biden, because there's no tracking on the ballots. There's no serial numbers at all. There's nothing to avoid having ballots counted more than once, which is insane. I mean, you have serial numbers on a dollar bill in America. You don't even have serial numbers on ballots. You don't know how many times each ballot was scanned. It's insane. And then there was a massive nationwide cover-up. I'm talking about the 2020 election, which Trump won. Again, even though I've been extremely critical of Trump lately, there's no question that Trump won the vote in 2020. It was stolen from him. And there were even well-funded efforts like Mark Zuckerberg donated hundreds of millions of dollars to make sure that some of the northern states, Michigan, I think was one of them, Pennsylvania, would steal the election. It was funded, it was stolen, it was done. And Trump didn't talk about that. He said, no, it's China. Which means, of course, there's going to be no arrests of the treasonous vote fraudsters in America. There's not going to be any demand for paper ballots, which is the only real solution here. Trump didn't call for paper ballots. At least I didn't hear him call for it. I watched most of the speech. No paper ballots. It's going to be black box voting machines yet again, still. Which means, of course, that Trump just wants it stolen by his party instead of the other party. We're never going to have honest elections as long as there's voting machines. Now, it's pretty simple to have fast and fair elections. It's pretty simple. Now, let me give an example. When I lived in Ecuador, I couldn't vote in Ecuador. I had a driver's license there. I had residency, but I couldn't vote. And of course, I didn't try to vote. I wasn't trying to break the local law and vote. Instead, I observed other people voting, just sort of watching, like, hey, how are elections carried out in this South American nation? And it turns out there were paper ballots. They had all the ballots counted in one evening, and everybody had to show ID. Everybody. Because the Ecuadorian people don't want, Colombians coming in and voting, or foreigners like me coming in and voting, right? It was very simple. Paper ballots, you count them all in one night. There's no mail-in ballots. This is nonsense. There's no machines that are connected to the internet with images and, hard drives. It's paper ballots. Count them in one night, and everybody shows an ID to vote. Very simple. If you do those three things, then you have honest elections. If you don't do those three things, you don't have honest elections. And Trump isn't calling for all three of those things. He's calling for one, which is the voter ID. So, that's a step in the right direction, you could say, one out of three. But you got to get rid of the machines. Because one of the things that Trump said is that Homeland Security, he's directed Homeland Security to tell all the states to remove ineligible voters from their voter rolls. Well, that wouldn't be a problem if you had paper ballots, and people had to show ID, and the election was held all in one day because only people who showed up with a proper ID could vote. Wouldn't matter who, what ineligible voters are on the rolls, they wouldn't be able to vote anyway. The only reason those sort of ghost voters exist in the databases in California, Oregon, and Colorado, and Illinois, etc., is so that dynamically those ghosts can be made to vote to swing the election in the favor of Democrats. And, you know, unfortunately, it looks to me like instead of resolving this issue, Trump just wants to rig it in favor of the GOP, which is not okay with me. I just want honest elections, truly honest elections. Until we have paper ballots, we don't have it. And furthermore, where are the prosecutions of all the traitors who rigged the 2020 election? Huh? Where are those prosecutions? You could say, well, it's been too long. You know, you can't prosecute them, right? Statute of limitations. Well, you could name them. You could identify them. You could tell the story of what happened, even if you couldn't prosecute them in the court of law. I mean, and this idea that you can't prosecute those people in 2020 and they're just going to just come back and rig everything again in 2026 and 2028. I'm sorry, that's absurd, because being involved in large-scale election rigging, in my mind, and I'm not talking about just one person who voted twice or something. I'm talking about being involved in, like, industrial-scale, massive, you know, ballot counterfeiting and rigging and ballot stuffing like a mule and all this. That is treason, in my view. That's treason against your country. And although I don't believe in the death sentence because I don't trust government and I don't trust the judicial process, but if I did trust the judicial process, I would be calling for the death sentence for people who are engaged in large-scale industrial vote rigging because it's that damaging to society. However, like I said, I don't trust the judicial system. I don't trust the government, so I'm not calling for that. But the fact that I would call for that, theoretically, is a description of how serious I think this infraction is against our constitutional republic. There's no excuse for people to be involved in large-scale election rigging, ballot stuffing, mail-in ballot fraud, running ballots multiple times, etc. And by the way, if you have machines that count the ballots, you have to serialize those ballots. You have to. And you have to have the data be publicly available. Remember when all the judges after 2020 said, nope, no one can see the voting records? That's completely illegal to hide the voting records from the public. And they threw Tina Peters in prison, for God's sake. She only recently got out after they destroyed her life. That was in Colorado. She was simply trying to preserve the election records, which was part of her job. Now, in my view, Trump blaming China is a distraction. China is not the source of the rigged 2020 election. Trump knows that. Come on. It's the Democrats. It's people like Mark Zuckerberg. You know, it's, in fact, part of the, you know, COVID, the COVID pandemic and releasing that during Trump's last year, because it was an engineered bioweapon that then got put into the vaccines, you know, a year later, etc. But running the pandemic bio false flag operation against Trump in his last year, that itself was a form of election rigging. And guess who was behind that? People like, in my view, Fauci. And yet that guy walks, you know, totally free to this day, has never been prosecuted. And a lot of other people who I believe were involved in that as well. And as you may recall, it was the COVID pandemic that then justified all the mail-in ballots, which justified mailing out the tens of millions of ballots all over town so that the ballot stuffing mules could run around town and scrape up all the ballots from nursing homes and, you know, mail drop box locations where there were like 500 ballots mailed to the same address and things like that. And then they would take those ballots and stuff them into the machines. And if that didn't win the election, they would just run the same ballots a second time or a third time or a fourth time in the middle of the night. That's why you woke up the next day. You're like, what? Trump lost? Biden won? What? Because when we went to sleep the night of the election, we all knew Trump had won. They rigged it. They changed it in the middle of the night. And I don't see Trump calling that out. Do you? No. So again, Trump is right about the fact that our elections are rigged. He's wrong about who's rigging them. For some reason, he's not willing to blame the Democrats and the, you know, the tech gurus, the billionaires who rigged it. Instead, he invites them over to the White House to have a, you know, red carpet VIP dinner. I mean, Google rigged the election. Also, Google played a role in suppressing voting among conservatives while showing messages to liberals to get out and vote. And that was based on your search history and the websites that you visit. I mean, Zach Voorhees has talked about that. He documented it. I mean, or he was working with a group that documented it. So Google was election rigging, and now Trump and Google are, you know, best friends. Same thing with Meta, Facebook, Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, you know, all of them. So again, it's so frustrating that Trump can't tell the whole truth on anything. He starts out with a little bit of truth. Yeah, the elections are rigged. And then he's like, but it's China, he says. China. Never heard somebody turn the word China into like three syllables. China, you know. It's not China, dude. It's the Democrats right here at home, and they're going to do it again. Trump knows it. Okay, so this is all smoke and mirrors. You know, there's so much bullshit coming out of the White House, I can't believe we're running into a fertilizer shortage right now. It's that bad. There was a great summary of all this from Evan Kilgore on X. He said, "Dear Donald Trump, I'm tired of hearing the 2020 election was stolen and nothing being done. Start arresting and firing the deep state. Hold the country's responsible accountable. Otherwise, shut the hell up about election interference. Signed, the American people." So that's pretty much the sentiment. So Trump, if you're going to say the election was stolen, arrest the people, prosecute the people, or at least name the people, expose the ones who stole it, and get rid of the electronic voting machines nationwide. Paper ballots that we can see, that we can audit, that are stored in a room for, you know, 2 years minimum, so we could go back and recount them. Paper ballots that can't be messed with, that aren't connected to the internet, that can't be hacked. In fact, if you think China and cybersecurity is the problem, paper is the most secure method of voting. Paper. You can't hack paper from overseas. You can't hack paper through the internet. You want secure elections? Use freaking paper. Very simple. Now, here's one other effect of all of this, by the way. Since the 2020 election was stolen, Joe Biden was never president. That's a fact. I mean, he was never a legitimate president, okay? So that means that every law that Joe Biden signed is null and void. In addition, every Supreme Court justice that Joe Biden appointed and every federal judge that he appointed needs to be removed. And if Trump is serious about doing something about election fraud, then he should present all the evidence of what happened in America. It's not China. It's stuff that happened in Atlanta. You know, it's stuff that happened in, Michigan and these other swing states, Arizona, right? Maricopa County, for God's sake, right? Show all the evidence. Go to a court, present the case, and ask the court to declare the Joe Biden presidency completely null and void. Roll all that shit back. because none of it was legitimate. None of the executive orders that Joe Biden signed were legitimate. Roll it all back. That would also mean that technically Trump was president during that entire time, which would mean that Trump is already serving his third term, although he was blocked for the second term. Oh, and by the way, that's why they had Joe Biden in a fake White House set. They filmed him in a fake Oval Office, you know, with fake windows. It was a movie set. We've all seen those images. Joe Biden was rarely in the actual White House. Everything was rigged. It was all staged the whole time. It wasn't even a real presidency. So we should roll that back. And if you're not going to try to roll it back, Trump, then, you know, shut the hell up about election fraud. Because either you're going to try to right the wrong or stop wasting our time, okay? Arrest the traitors, arrest the vote riggers, roll back the fake presidency of Joe Biden, set the record straight, and remove the freaking voting machines. Then we're talking. That's something I could get behind. I might even start participating in elections again if there's paper ballots, but as it stands right now, I can hardly even motivate myself to go vote for anything, given that, you know, it's still electronic voting machines. It's all fake. But I do feel like the only reason I should go vote is to vote against Ted Cruz, because he's the worst possible senator for the state of Texas imaginable. He's just another, you know, prostitute for Israel, let's be honest. You know, he's another Lindsey Graham. He's like the Texas Lindsey, except not as gay. So I don't even know who's running against Ted Cruz. And it doesn't even really matter at this point. I mean, Ted Cruz is so bad that you just like, just get him out of there. And by the way, it was the Democrats in a Senate vote, I believe it was just recently, that saved us temporarily from having the entire U.S. military turned over to Israel. That was that was led by Senator Bernie Sanders. So, you know, occasionally Bernie Sanders pulls out a win, and that was a big deal. So we have to remember that Democrats in the Senate actually sometimes serve a positive purpose, which is blocking the total insanity of the GOP. So I'm going to probably go vote against Senator Ted Cruz. I don't even know who's running against him. Doesn't even matter. I mean, if I show up to vote and it says that the Democrat candidate running against Ted Cruz is Daffy freaking Duck, I'm voting for Daffy Duck, man. I'm done with Ted Cruz. So I'm not going out to vote for anybody. I'm going out to vote against the traitors. If I vote at all, we'll see. See what happens between now and then. By the way, I was doing a recording yesterday. I was interviewing Andy Schechtman. And then out of the blue, RT contacts my producer. Like, hey, we got to have Mike on. So this is breaking news. And my producer talked to him like, what's up? They said Russia and China and I think 28 countries just signed an international AI cooperative that bypasses the U.S. and Western countries to, you know, share knowledge and information about not just AI, but also semiconductors, you know, microchip creation. So they wanted to have me on. And they said it's going to be a short hit, just a few minutes, but they really wanted me on to comment about it. So I had to quickly move a couple of things around in my interview schedule, but I was able to make it work. So they sent us the video. It's pretty short, but I'd like to play it for you here. This was my little segment on RT talking about the new AI cooperative, which I fully support because I support open source AI models. And I think the U.S. government is pushing nothing but censorship and restrictions of models. And also the U.S. government is weaponizing AI as weapon systems against humanity, you know, to build autonomous Terminator killbots and things like that. So I actually support decentralization of AI technology, which right now means, you know, China, Russia, other countries as well. So anyway, I'm going to play that segment for you here and then enjoy the rest of the show. In the meantime, when you're ready to prepare with more certified organic lab-tested food, long-term storable food, like freeze-dried fruits, those are usually missing in storable food. We've got it at healthrangerstore.com, plus iodine and preparedness supplies and high nutrient density superfoods and like chlorella, spirulina. We've got turmeric and various supplements based on turmeric and lots of things, lots of amazing meals and recipes like powder mixes to make amazing things like a golden milk with ginger and turmeric in it. It's great stuff. So check it all out, healthrangerstore.com, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Now, Russia, China, and 27 other countries have officially established the World Organization for Cooperation in Artificial Intelligence. A ceremony was held in Shanghai, where the host nation's foreign minister and Russia's digital development minister signed off on the deal. With AI a huge talking point right now, Moscow and Beijing are working hand in hand to shape the new global organization. It seeks to put human interests first, ensuring equal access to, quotes, information, transparency, and clear ethical standards. To turn such principles into reality, China is tasked with supplying breakthrough models while Russia ensures real-life application. Next year, Russia will host landmark international AI conferences in which China and many other nations will actively participate. Well, it's great to welcome live onto the program founder of the Anti-Censorship Hub, Brighteon Platforms, Mike Adams, live from Texas. Mike, I appreciate your time, sir. What kind of goals can an organization like this achieve that perhaps a single country wouldn't be able to tackle?
Well, this is a really critical positive development for the future of humanity, in my opinion. And of course, I'm an AI developer as well. And I understand also as an American that the American empire will weaponize and monopolize AI against humanity if it's given an opportunity to do so. And so this international competition, this balancing against Western AI hegemony, I think is really critical for humanity. China has extraordinary engineering capabilities, as well as Russia, and yet the United States continues to punish and use tariffs and artificial scarcity, deprivation of access to supply chains, in order to try to weaken those countries and other countries' capability to access machine cognition. That is unfair, and in my opinion, it's also a violation of fundamental human rights that the United States is doing that. So this development is very positive.
This is one as well of the first international organizations for AI cooperation to be officially formed. It's also spearheaded by BRICS members, countries of the Global South. But does that come with a challenge as well, Mike? Will the grouping have in balancing the participation of countries who've got, I suppose, different levels of tech development? How will that all marry together?
Well, that's a very good point. It's critical that the leaders in, for example, open source AI models such as China maintain an open source posture that helps share their developments and publish science papers that can be shared with other countries such as Russia or even such as Iran, where there are very, very capable people who can augment and cross-pollinate those ideas for very rapid development. And if the BRICS nations succeed at this, there's no question in my mind, and I say this even as an American, that the BRICS nations will surpass America's AI capabilities in short order, including in semiconductor manufacturing, and they will bypass the tariffs and sanctions that have been placed against China, for example, restricting China's access to UV lithography equipment such as ASML. So again, this is overall a positive development for humanity.
Mike, just a final point about Silicon Valley's supremacy and perhaps looking on at this. Will they be looking on very closely at how this unfolds, this organization?
Well, yeah, absolutely. There will be efforts to sabotage this. And I should also point out that even right now, the just recent news that some of the top engineers from the DeepMind sector of Google have left Google, saying that they disagree with
Google's licensing of its AI technology to the Pentagon for weaponization and the production of automated, essentially targeting and killing machines. So what the United States needs to be concerned about, in my opinion, is not simply the international competition, but also the backlash from within, because the AI community in America has many people that completely disagree with the current trajectory of how this technology is being applied as weapon systems against human beings.
Really, really interesting analysis. Thank you for your time, Mike. Brightian Platforms Media Ecosystem founder, Mr. Mike Adams, live on the program.
Thank you.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.